good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Tuesday, the 28th day of October. And we have Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
I just knew you was going to do that. I was waiting
Morning.
Whatever.
Well, what about all the nice rain we've been getting?
Well, I'm glad, like the stuff that's coming down with the hurricane, 30 inches of rain coming in to Jamaica.
Yes.
That's going to be kind of grim. I mean, it's going to wash the whole place out.
Very grim.
Into the mid.
I haven't really been watching a lot of it. I mean, I know that there's a hurricane. I know it's Jamaica, but now is the rain we're getting now from that, or is that going to be?
It's a little early for that right now.
Okay, so it could be coming our way from that, maybe?
It all depends on how the course it takes after that. And
all right.
A lot of they work real hard to predict the track, and then you kind of see what it actually does. So it's going to depend on. Then they have an annoying habit. Sometimes they peter out when we thought they were going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to, grit our teeth and watch for it
and
start planning now what kind of assistance we're going to be able to give to folks in Jamaica. Because the time comes that you really need to help folks in a disaster.
Yes.
Absolutely. But be in prayer, folks. Because, there have been occasions when the hurricanes have taken strange courses of action away from land, and can I say it was in response to prayer? No, I can say I suspect it was in response to a lot of prayer.
Sure.
But, God doesn't tell me much about what he's planning to do. He hardly ever checks in with me on things like that.
No, that's right.
And I've given him advice on several occasions, but...
Oh, really?
It's kind of...
Never.
It's like, Jim!
Yeah. What is it, the one minister, I watched some minister, I don't know, it's been several months ago, and he said that Jesus talks with him and counsels Jesus.
Yeah, that's kind of the way we feel about it sometimes.
I'm sitting here scratching my head. I said, huh? What? I said, what did Jesus say? You do not counsel Jesus.
No, you don't. You don't tell God when to get on and off the bus or anything like that.
No.
There's a story a friend of mine had about a pastor and his... I was over in Lexington, I think. It was one of the miserable hot summers.
Yeah.
And he says, yes, I was looked up and I was just so hot. And I said, Lord, does it have to be this hot? And I felt like the Lord was saying, Harry, mind your own business.
There you go.
So, but you got to trust, it says, helps us in Scripture. You got to trust the Lord of all creation to do what's right.
That's right.
It may not look that way to us. Quite often it doesn't.
That's right.
But at some point, you just have to trust him to have it under his control.
Absolutely.
Well, devil's the prince of the air. Devil, he's sort of like the pirates in the Caribbean. He's in control of some areas, but that's because the true sovereigns haven't gotten around to clean them out yet in that area.
There you go.
But it's by their sovereign, because when they're ready for them to clean them out, they're going to clean them out.
That's it.
And the devil's not going to be a factor anymore.
That's right.
Between now and then... Resist the devil, he will flee from you. I don't know. But we're told to resist.
Yes.
We're told to beware, to be watchful, to be careful, to notice, because the devil doesn't come up and say, hi, I'm the devil, let's go do this bad thing.
Yeah. No.
Hey, that looks like fun. It's all right, that's not going to hurt anything.
That's the way you kind of work.
Take this
pill.
That's
the way it works. Yeah.
Smoke this marijuana that's laced with fentanyl. Oh, sorry, it killed you. Son of a gun. Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Well, Jim, what are we going to kind of be talking about a little bit today?
You can't make this stuff up. And it's not a funny one. They've got a U.S. senator who is threatening legal jeopardy for members of the military that are fighting the drug war, like the ones that are blowing up these boats.
Mm-hmm.
So, you might be brought up on charges if Congress later decides that, the president shouldn't have ordered those things, and you did them. Then we're going to charge you.
Yeah.
But it's I hate to make it sound like there's a lot of politics involved.
Mm-hmm.
But under President Obama, he ordered a lot of drone strikes on targets, killed hundreds of people. It actually included some Americans that happened to be there as well, involved in those things.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual. for a president to take action, including military action, against actual and sometimes perceived threats against our nation.
Sure,
it's
sure.
Part of the deal.
Part of the deal.
And so
yeah,
we're taking that, taking these boats out, and you know, it really doesn't bother me. Well, what if they're not? We've got intelligence in Venezuela and places. They when they start watching one of these boats, it doesn't. It's not one of these. Oh, that looks like that might be a boat. Let's blow it up. No. They know which ones are which, what they're carrying. They've got folks to keep that under surveillance.
That's right.
So they know what they're going after.
Absolutely.
And when you've got a few folks, and we've got a few folks we know that have overdosed. Some of them made it through, some of them didn't.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And so it doesn't bother me a whole lot when somebody that's trying to kill people in this country gets blown up.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm an old Cold Warrior with a little bit of hot war in there briefly.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't doesn't bother me in the way that the hyper-pious people think it should.
Yeah,
it disturbs me that it's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to I'm not part of those. Say, if you come in to do damage to my family, I'm going to sit by there and hold your coat for you. No. Yeah.
No. That's true.
You got to take me out first.
There you go. 24/7. Missionary Radio. And welcome back, of course, to the Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, your community station. And Jim, I'd like to remind folks real quick, we've been trying to remind folks during our Front Porch program that they can go back and listen to past programs of the Front Porch or Ministry Spotlight on our website under missionary.radio, okay? And it's right up at the top right-hand corner. Just click on it. You're going to see some options. You'll have, a Ministry Spotlight, then a rocking chair. Click which one you want, and you can go back and listen to past programs of the Front Porch or Ministry Spotlight. Now, they can also go on Spotify, Amazon Podcast, and Apple Podcast as well.
You're speaking in tongues to me there, sport.
Am I speaking in tongues? Well, I mean,
I kind of know what those things are for, but I haven't pursued it.
It's for podcast. I mean, you go listen, so you can pick it up other than just going by the website. So
like everybody in this horse seems to have a podcast these days.
That's it. Everybody's got a podcast, except for me. I don't have a podcast.
I don't either.
All I can do is do this once a couple of times a month. I'm just not interested. But anyway.
There's some pretty interesting stuff out there. But
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, this ties in a little bit. One of the main industries in the Commonwealth of Kentucky and several other places is, of course, gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And it has become a problem. They just had this with Terry Rozier, Miami Heat. He averaged in NBA 20 points a game. That's some pretty serious hoops.
Mm-hmm.
But he's now going to be remembered for not that so much as sports betting and working, apparently, allegedly, because you got to say allegedly, because hasn't had a verdict yet.
Mm-hmm.
Cooperating with big-time gamblers to shave points or to let them know that he's going to be leaving after the first few minutes with a, quote, injury, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they uncover this, several others like that. He leaked information where he had a LeBron James was going to have to sit out for legitimate reasons with LeBron, but he let it be known early to some of the gamblers that LeBron was going to have to sit out a few games, and so that could change the odds and all of this. And, I mean, there's been, sports gambling scandals before, but there's now a tremendous industry, and, of course, now you're allowed to bet on college sports, which was going on illegally anyway. As a matter of fact, when we first moved to this area back in 1974, and I was invited to a gathering at a fellow's house that we had met, and we knew some other folks there. And he had his bookie there taking bets on some of the college games coming up and others.
Oh, wow.
Just openly so. And so I said, this is our bookie if you want to place a bet. And I said, no, I'm not a betting man. So I kind of went over to the buffet table again.
Went back to the buffet table instead.
That was safer. Let's see. Toronto Raptors center Jontay Porter pled guilty to cooperating with and, cheating and missing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures from Cleveland Guardians under investigation. It goes on and goes on. The sports leagues opposed legalized sports betting, but they've changed that away. And Now, of course, it's legal to bet on college games, and of course, then you've got college athletes are allowed to get sponsors and take all of this and do all of this stuff. But you ever wonder why it is that the coaches get paid more than the college presidents?
I don't know.
Well, you know, it's hard to bet on graduates' levels.
That's true.
I mean, if folks are going to graduate in this field or that field.
That's true.
ESPN says people wagered $150 billion and lost about 13 of that in 2023. A FanDuel, it's one of these online betting things, there are about 70,000 wagers a minute on last year's Super Bowl. I mean, just strange. Are you going to bet on whether, you know, how many yards rushing they're going to have? You're going to bet on whether they score right now. You're going to bet. You're going to do a field goal. Let's bet on whether or not he makes it. It is an addiction.
Very much an addiction.
It's very much an addiction. And the profits come from folks who continue to bet even when they can't afford to do it. You know, there was a story about the guy that at Las Vegas was trying to hit a guy for some money to get some food. And the fellow said, man, I'm not going to give you money. You're just going to go there and gamble with it. And he said, no, man, I got gambling money. I need some money to eat with.
My goodness.
That's kind of the thing. And, of course, that's the beginning. We got a lotteries, and they had all sorts of things when they first started the lottery through there and said, oh, it's not that dangerous. Folks aren't betting a whole lot of big money on that. So several of the stores, grocery stores, did some surveys, and they watched when they started selling lottery tickets that there's money spent on food dropped down by about the same amount that was being spent on lottery tickets. Wow. So, yes, people do spend their food money for the lottery tickets.
Yes.
It does happen.
Yes.
And there was those say, well, it's not really addictive, and the other folks pointed out there was a guy in a neighboring area, and in his trunk he had $30,000 worth of failed lottery tickets.
$30,000
worth of money that just went away, and we still don't know for sure where all of that goes. A lot of it goes out of state; we never see it again.
Sure, yeah.
And in most states, I would say it used to be every state, there may have been some since then, that passes a lottery based on money for the education system. They've had to pass a massive tax increase within 3 years because the legislative body said, oh, they've got the lottery money coming in for the education budget. We can cut it back and spend that money elsewhere.
Yeah.
And they had that kind of thought too. So it doesn't work. But apparently we love sports betting in the United States even more so than politics. The American Gaming Association said 2/3 of Americans approve of legal sports betting, and it's nonpartisan. 70% of Democrats and 70% of Republicans agree. Yeah, we are in favor of it.
Wow.
So
let's see. Pete Rose got in trouble for that.
He got
right?
in trouble with that, and he was not betting on his own games, but he was betting on other games. But in professional sports at that time, you were not allowed to bet.
On
sports because of the potential for corruption. And, you know, you sit there and don't run quite fast enough and you get thrown out.
Yeah.
Or you swing and a miss when you could have hit.
Yeah.
Things like that. Basketball players shaving points.
Jeez.
There's just so many different ways to it. And the thing that's interesting in a weird kind of way is how many ways, like golf betting.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody tried to explain to me once about betting in golf. I don't play golf, so I didn't really understand all of it.
Me neither.
But by the time he finished, I figured the guy that ends up with the lowest score is going to lose the most money because with all the different bets going on different holes.
Pardon me.
You know how that's? So I thought, you win, you have the lowest score, so you win, but you lose money on the bets because it's just
crazy.
Bizarre.
That's very crazy.
But the big thing is that if you're engaged in that kind of gambling, then you're going to lose.
That's right.
It is designed for you to lose.
That's it.
A lot of people say, somebody's got to win. Might as well be you. Well, let's try this.
Yeah.
Almost everybody loses, and you will too.
And
because every time somebody talks about winning whatever, $50, $100, $2, whatever, that means somebody else has to lose. People have to lose 2 and 3 times that much.
Right.
In order to
have
a percentage for payoff.
Yep.
And then you say, well, you win a zillion dollars. Well, you don't actually get a zillion dollars. You get a certain sum, which if you invest carefully could bring you that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get payments over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to get you to take a cash payment in lieu of the long-time things like that.
Yep.
And so many people that have won big on lotteries and such
Oh, yeah.
They end up within 3 to 5 years right back where they were to begin with.
That's it.
Broke.
That's it. That's it.
So Satan is very clever.
Oh, yes.
And some days we are not.
That's right.
Well, Jim, and it's time for Pen from the Heart.
It
we'll
is.
Back. We're going to spend some extra time with James Montgomery Boyce this time around. We've got a couple of interesting things. We'll get into that when we get back from Pen from the Heart. Some music and...
Sounds good.
On we go.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, "I felt impressed months ago to give $20 a month, but became distracted and avoided it. So I'm making up the difference now. I'm 25, and Missionary Radio has often contained the voice of God in my life. Thank you." From Acadie's listener, "We are so thankful for this radio station. God bless you all." And from Cedar Hill, "Praise God for His faithfulness and keeping you all in the earbuds of those who listen."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our Testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
One thing before we get into this, just want to once again express our thanks to all the folks that took part in the carathon recently.
Yes.
It's the probably, as far as the figures for over a short period of time, it's the best that's ever been done. We just thank you, folks. Yeah. But, folks, as you mentioned earlier this morning, that was a very, but it's not enough. And folks say, what? That's not enough?
No.
Radio stations, transmitters, and stations eat electricity.
Absolutely.
And electricity is not free.
Mm-mm.
You know, we've got TVA, so our rates are lower than a lot of people's. I got some folks over in the Carolinas with Duke Power, and Duke Power does pretty good, but their rates are up from the ones what we have.
Sure.
But that's just a lot. There's a lot of it, and basically all the same expenses you have at home, electricity, heating, water, all those things.
Yes.
They're here. They just have more zeros before the decimal point.
That's it.
So we just thank you, but please continue to support the stations, the network.
Yes.
It's going worldwide, folks.
That's it.
And people are being reached worldwide. And I've had a couple of folks just over the past week mention listening and how much the programs they listen to, the one things they look forward
to.
Sure. And by the way, listening to Dr. Lutzer this morning, tonight you need please forego your favorite television or whatever it is you do. And if you want to catch 8:15 and catch Unshackled, but right after that is Dr. Lutzer. Mm-hmm. He has done a really good presentation on the magnificence and comprehensiveness of God, mm-hmm. the eternity of God, and forego whatever it is you normally do from 8:45 to 9, and check that out because it just really helps understand just how big God is, which of course reminds us of how small we are.
Absolutely.
Anyhow, there's my plug for Dr. Lutzer for the day.
There you go.
Okay, Acts chapter 18, verses 18 through 28 to start us off.
Okay. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Caesarea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Perga, in order strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accordingly the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Asia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ.
Okay. And Dr. Boyce is talking about Apollos. And I don't know that I've ever heard a lesson or a sermon on Apollos. Possibly have at some point, but it didn't stick, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he talks about the rich and the practical spiritual lessons in Apollos' story, and he lists three of them here. Mm-hmm. First, he talks about this, learning in favor, I'm reading now, though valuable gifts are not in themselves enough for Christian workers. We must know Jesus Christ. Even knowledge of the Scriptures and skill in presenting them are not enough. There are always people in churches who are not saved but who know a great deal. They know all the Scriptures well, but they do not know Jesus. They do not know him personally as their Savior and Lord. They are not his disciples. It may be true of you. Although you may have gone to church for many years and may know a great deal about the Scriptures, the mere learning and even fervent teaching of these things is not enough. You must know Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Number two, different kinds of people are needed for Christ's work. This, in my mind, can't be overemphasized. Different folks have different gifts and different strengths.
Sure.
Aquila and Priscilla were different from Apollos. Apollos was different from Paul. Paul was a feisty Jewish rabbi. Apollos was a man of polish, erudition, that means fancy learning, and learning, which also means learning. Aquila and Priscilla, Apollos and Paul were all needed in the church. How do we know? We know because God called them. Paul, with his energetic missionary favor, Apollos, who watered the seed that Paul had sown, Priscilla and Aquila, who settled down, opened their home, and were hosts to the developing church. Each one was necessary. So, are you, if you are Christ's disciple? God has given you a distinct spiritual gift, and that gift is needed where you are. If you think, I'm not needed because someone else is more eloquent, someone else is more hospitable, someone else has more energy or is a better evangelist than I am, I can hit up on most of those. You're making a great mistake. You've done that too. If you neglect to use your gift, the church will be impoverished. Now think about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a man, I remember that people in the church didn't realize how much he did until he died and wasn't there anymore to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody actually put a little plaque up on the wall honoring him. He stayed up for a long time.
Yep.
But they didn't make a big production. He just hung up there.
Sure.
You went by and you saw it. Yeah, Brother Bill, he just saw it and something needed to be done, and so he did it.
Sure.
So remember, you have a gift. You can ask God to guide you. And while you're waiting, if you got something you can do, you can help out and go do it.
That's right.
So then the third one, he goes about it. If you lack workers for Christ where you are and you feel the need, you should pray about it and asking God for help. Paul must have been praying strongly for these churches, knowing that he was unable to do all that was needed to be done just by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He must have been asking God to send new workers to the missionary field, and God did.
Yeah.
Do about that. You know, you talk to folks who've been on search committees for pastors or youth workers or whatever else, and their prayer plays a very important part of that.
Absolutely.
Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. These words are true for us. The harvest is plenteous. Just outside our doors are many people who need to hear the gospel. They are resistant. No one left to him or herself is going to come to God. That's why you must pray to God for some more workers into his vineyard. It is by the many that God's works to save some. They can't know Jesus unless they hear about him.
Right.
They can't hear about him until someone tells them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not gifted with speech, not gifted with words, but you can pray because of these boys at the church camp, fifth graders.
Mm-hmm.
They said, one of them said, I don't know how to pray. And one of the other ones said, just talk to God like you're talking to me.
That's it.
Well, talk to God like you'd be talking to me if you were talking to me.
There you go.
You don't have to use flowery language. You can if you want to. It's all right. It's enjoyable to be able to, if you're gifted with flowery language.
Sure.
But God is interested in what's out of your heart.
Right.
And
very true.
You can be used in, a lady coming up we're going to hear from, and she broke her neck when she was 17, was paralyzed from about the shoulders down.
Yep.
God has used her mightily.
Mightily.
Where she was. But it took her a while to get there. If you read her story,
sure,
she went through a lot of stuff in the course of realizing and accepting her condition.
That's right.
So let's go to Johnny.
All right.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. And here's a reflection from Johnny on the word chronic.
Okay, so there I was in the hospital, right? Shortly after the diving accident in which I broke my neck. For a while, I stayed in the ICU and the acute care ward. And it felt strangely comforting to be an acute care patient. It meant that doctors were still trying to figure things out. There was hope that I would get better, that with treatment I would improve. Well, I didn't improve. I didn't get back use of my hands or my legs. And after a few months, they moved me from, quote, acute care to the chronic care wing. And I will never forget as they wheeled my stretcher into a new section of the hospital where people with chronic conditions were treated. I got a lump in my throat. To me, it meant, the doctors don't know what else to do with you, Johnny. You're not going to regain use of your body. Oh, my goodness. My condition was chronic and would probably never go away. And that not only sounded scary, it was scary. And you can understand. Because I bet you have had hardships that never go away. You pray and you plead until your knees are sore, yet the pinched nerve in your back does not heal. The multiple sclerosis does not halt, the Alzheimer's does not regress, the marriage does not get better, the job promotion never comes, and the engagement ring never arrives. Well, after living for decades in a wheelchair with my chronic condition, this is my conclusion. You see, the core of God's plan is to rescue us from sin and self-centeredness. Suffering, especially the chronic kind, is God's choicest tool to accomplish this. Because life transformation, oh my goodness, that's a long process. When I broke my neck, it was not a jigsaw puzzle that I had to solve fast. It was not a quick jolt to get me back on track. No, my paralyzing accident was the beginning of a lengthy process of becoming like Christ. And that means I can heartily accept my paralysis as a chronic condition. So may I share with you one of my, quote, chronic Bible verses, a favorite. I call it chronic because this Bible verse supports me for the long haul. It says in James chapter 1, when all kinds of trials crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and produce in you the quality of endurance, but let that process go on until that endurance is fully developed. Friend, did you hear that? Dealing with certain hardships is a process, a long process, that ultimately will bring endurance and perseverance, long-suffering and patience. Best of all, a deep and abiding joy in Christ. And oh, friend, when that finally happens, the only thing that will be chronic will be just that, your joy in the Lord. Well, I want to help you embrace the chronic conditions in your life. It could be a long-term health problem like mine, or maybe a family situation that's not changing. And I want you to hang on. I want endurance to be fully developed in your life. Just as it says in James chapter 1.
Thank you, Johnny. And friend, to help you do that, I encourage you to become a subscriber to our Johnny and Friends YouTube channel, where you'll find lots of inspiring videos of other people with chronic conditions, especially disabling conditions. These folks are trusting Christ with everything. So please, carve out time to watch their testimonies on our YouTube channel. It'll bolster your spirits and help you better understand God's plan in suffering, especially when that suffering is long-term. It's all there for you on our Johnny and Friends YouTube channel, so subscribe today. Just go to johnnyradio.org for the link. And as always, thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 116:2, "Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live." A hospital chaplain visited a delightful old lady in the hospital. As he approached her bed, he noticed that with the index finger of one hand, she was touching one by one the fingers of the other with her eyes closed. She went on to explain, "I hold my hand like this, my thumb towards me. That reminds me to pray for the person nearest to me. Then there's my pointing finger, so I pray for those who point the way to others, teacher, leaders, parents. The next finger is the biggest, so I pray for those in high places. After that comes the weakest finger. Look, it won't stand by itself, so I pray for the sick and the lonely and the afraid. And this little one, well, last of all, I pray for myself." I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Just a real positive influence to keep our mindset where it should be and focused on God and loving others.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Missionary radio. Well, yeah, we were talking about laborers for the harvest and that we have gifts and talents that we can use for the Lord. But if you just stop there, you think, well, it's all about what I'm supposed to be doing when I'm supposed to be busy. And you just kind of switch from being a human being to a human doing, somebody said one time.
Yep.
So we're going to pick up something else, going over to Acts 20, because there's more to it. There is an inheritance to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. We're going to see what Dr. Boyce has to say in that area, reading from Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38.
"From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have conveyed no one's silver or gold or apparel, are coveted, that is. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship."
All right. Now, this is a little different, a continuation of what Paul was saying earlier. Dr. Boyce points out, he says, Paul is reminding us here that if we're faithful to our task, like he was urging the Ephesian elders to be, there will be laid up for us treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy it, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. Now, that last little bit is from Matthew chapter 6, and those are the words of Jesus Christ himself. So there's something awaiting us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus uses the word treasures.
Yep.
Well, Boyce continues, Dr. Boyce says, I suppose that is why Paul went on in an unexpected way to speak about himself again. He had already given his testimony. He had spoken directly to the elders. First glance, it seems strange that Paul should have begun then to talk about himself once more, saying, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. It's in Acts 20. It may be a bit unexpected, but it's not hard to understand how he got there. He just urged them to deny themselves for the sake of God's kingdom, concluding, God will give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Now, if I mentioned Dr. Lutzer's program this morning. It's going to be on again at 8:45. Just break your schedule, change it, listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit about the magnificence of God. This God that is eternal, it's unlimited. Yeah. It extends past the heavens and past infinity that has no end, and it's beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond our comprehension. This God has an inheritance for those who are sanctified, for his people.
Yes.
If you kind of grab a hold of that, it'll stun you.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, Paul did, and I'm back to Dr. Boyce now. He reminded them that what he was urging them on them, he himself had done. He said, in effect, I've not tried to build an earthly fortune. I've not coveted anyone's gold. I've not been in this religion business to become wealthy. TV preachers called your office. I added that.
Yep.
The reason I've not done this is that I haven't had my eyes set upon the inheritance laid up for me in heaven. There's a whole school of theology that's developed that says, follow Jesus Christ and become rich and wealthy and have cars and houses and airplanes, and if you don't, you just need to believe harder and send me your money.
Yeah.
Now, Boyce continues, what a difference it would make if we would all learn to think like that. I know it's hard. The world bombards us with its values and with a philosophy that says, you only go around once, now's the time to make it. If you do not lay up treasure for yourself now, you'll never have it. there used to be a bumper sticker, Brian, that said, he who dies with the most toys wins. Then there was another bumper sticker that says, he who dies with the most toys is still dead.
That's right.
And they tell you, you don't see a hearse tied onto a U-Haul going out to the cemetery.
You sure don't.
But there's a school of thought that says you only go around once. Well, not entirely accurate.
Yep.
Not entirely accurate. By contrast, Boyce points out, the Word of God says you can lay it up now, but when you die, it'll be gone forever. On the other hand, if you live for God now, you will have the treasure forever.
Amen.
You got it. Points out, I think, in Ecclesiastes that you lay it up in other places, too. You get all this inheritance, and then you die, and somebody else gets to spend it.
Yeah. Yep.
Boyce writes, it's literally true that you cannot take it with you into heaven. But if you're obedient to God and try to serve him wholeheartedly, now spiritual treasures will be waiting for you in heaven when you get there. Mm-hmm. These treasures are the eternal well-being of the soul, eternal felicity, basking in and enjoying the favor of God forever. Compared with those spiritual treasures, the things for which we sell our souls here are worse than trifles. They are nothing. They are literally the refuse of this disintegrating world.
Mm-hmm.
Lay up treasures in heaven, as Paul did. What's heaven like? So many people have tried to describe it. They say it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. It's not running around on a cloud with little dinky angels, dinky wings on your back and a halo around your head.
Mm-mm.
It's not that. I don't know who came up with that one.
Yeah.
But it's going to be something beyond what we can ask or think or understand. And all these efforts, aren't things really going to be the new earth, going to be sort of like on earth here, except nicer? Well, I'm kind of hoping for a little more than that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what.
Yeah.
What does God consider a treasure?
What does he consider a treasure?
We're laying up treasures in heaven.
Yeah.
And it's something God considers a treasure. I just think sometimes about the idea of being free from sin. No sin anywhere. Because sin cannot abide in the presence of God, and
that's right.
God will not countenance sin. He won't tolerate
that's
it.
Right.
He forgives it, and then it's gone. But he obliterates it. There'll be none left.
Yep.
You know,
no sickly bodies.
No sickly bodies. No sickly minds.
Yeah.
You know,
it's gonna be wonderful.
No cutting off into no hostile feelings about the drunk driver that ran off the road and killed a friend of mine this past weekend.
That's right.
You know, I'm
not
happy with that man.
Sure.
You know, I don't want him in hell, but my fleshly body does not mind if he gets hurt real bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'll God and I'll deal with that. You know, we'll get past that a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, if Charlie Kirk's wife can announce on international television that she forgives the man who murdered her husband.
Yeah.
With tears.
Yeah.
But, you know, she doesn't want him in hell.
That's right.
That's the thing.
That's right. That's right.
So the treasures laid up in heaven are beyond anything we have, but it's going to be so good.
Amen.
In the meantime, while we're here, let's serve him.
Absolutely.
We don't know exactly what's laying up, you know, treasures and what doesn't, but we know things that do are in contrast to what God has described as the conduct and the missions.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember a person I knew that I heard say that he had a, you know, sort of a state of some sort. He says she would hate to have the bottom fall out of everything economically, and then he had to realize how he could have helped and given away more than he did.
Yeah.
So. Okay, coming up on time for the news, and that's your prayer list for this hour.
All right.
Just pay attention and be praying while you listen, because there's some rough stuff going on right now.
That's right.
Thank you. Hope to see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
All right. Thank you, Jim, and thanks for listening to The Front Porch.